Jeremiah, if you want to turn there this evening, chapter 19. Wednesday night we'll be in Hebrews 11. But tonight we see that Israel's resistance goes even beyond not listening and now transitions even over into violence against God's man. So notice chapter 19, verse 14. Then came Jeremiah from Tophet, whither the Lord had sent him to prophesy. And he stood in the court of the Lord's house and said to all the people, "Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will bring upon this city and upon all her towns all the evil that I have pronounced against it, because they have hardened their necks that they might not hear my words. Now Pashur the son of Immer the priest, who was also chief governor in the house of the Lord, heard that Jeremiah prophesied these things. Then Pashur smote Jeremiah the prophet and put him in the stocks that were in the high gate of Benjamin, which was by the house of the Lord. Came to pass on the morrow that Pashur brought forth Jeremiah out of the stocks. Then said Jeremiah unto him, The Lord hath not called thy name Pashur, but Magormisabib. For thus saith the Lord, Behold, I will make thee a terror to thyself and to all thy friends, and they shall fall by the sword of their enemies, and thine eyes shall behold it. And I will give all Judah into the hand of the king of Babylon, and he shall carry them captive into Babylon, and shall slay them with the sword. Moreover, I will deliver all the strength of this city, and all the labors thereof, and all the precious things thereof, and all the treasures of the kings of Judah, will I give into the hand of their enemies, which shall spoil them, and take them, and carry them to Babylon. And thou, Pashur, and all that dwell in thine house shall go into captivity. And thou shalt come to Babylon, and there thou shalt die. And thou shalt be buried there, thou and all thy friends, to whom thou hast prophesied lies. O Lord, thou hast deceived me, and I was deceived. Thou art stronger than I, and hast prevailed. I am in derision daily. Every one mocketh me. For since I spake, I cried out. I cried violence and spoil, because the word of the Lord was made a reproach unto me and a derision daily. Then I said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name. But his word was in my heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones, and I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay. For I heard the defaming of many, fear on every side, report, they say, and we were reported. All my familiars watched for my halting, saying, Peradventure he will be enticed, and we shall prevail against him, and we shall take our revenge on him. But the Lord is with me as a mighty terrible one, therefore my persecutors shall stumble, and they shall not prevail, and they shall be greatly ashamed, for they shall not prosper. Their everlasting confusion shall never be forgotten. But, O Lord of hosts, that triest the righteous and seest the reins of the heart, let me see thy vengeance on them, for unto thee have I opened my cause. Sing unto the Lord, praise ye the Lord, for he hath delivered the soul of the poor from the hand of the evildoers. So I'll take my title from verse 9, I could not stay. Lord, I pray you'd use your word in our lives this evening to teach and grow us. Thank you for it. Lord, I pray that we would leave being touched by the Holy Spirit and changed by the power of your word. We give you this service. May the Holy Ghost guide everything that's said and done. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. So as you can see, Jeremiah continues to obey the Lord, prophesying, warning Israel about their disobedience and the consequences, which will ultimately be the captivity under Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon. And it all came down, as we see there in verse 15, at the end of the verse, harden their necks, and they might not hear. Disobedience. Always comes down to disobedience. And so, again, up to this point, they've just not listened. But now we see that the governor of Jerusalem goes a step further and put Jeremiah in the stocks. And then, I punched him first. Of course, we saw that. He smote him there in verse 2 and then put him in the stocks. But you know, Jeremiah was warned that this would happen way back when God first called him. So let's go back to chapter 1 and see this, that God warned him that he would be persecuted. But at the same time, God also promised him that God would protect him, which he did. But he never promised him that he wouldn't be persecuted or even smitten or even put in the stocks. And later we'll see that they go even further. But they never killed him because God was with him. But notice verse 8 of chapter 1. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. And then down to verse 18. For behold, I have made thee this day a defenced city, and an iron pillar and brazen walls against the whole land, against the kings of Judah, against the princes thereof, against the priests thereof, and against the people of the land. And they shall fight against thee, but they shall not prevail against thee, for I am with thee, saith the Lord, to deliver thee. That's exciting. He's saying it's going to be you against the entire nation. Think about that. But I'm going to protect you. And so he told him up front that they wouldn't listen, that they would persecute him, but that God would protect him, which, as we see, God is doing. So God then reminds, or through Jeremiah, back to our passage, reminds them that they will be carried away into Babylon. First, Pashur gets renamed to this Magor Missabib, which means terror on every side. And then he reminds them in verse 4, I will give all Judah into the hand of the king of Babylon. Verse 5, at the end of the verse, and I will spoil them and take them and carry them to Babylon. Do you know the word Babylon is in the book of Jeremiah more than any other book? Just as a bit of trivia, 169 times it's in the book of Jeremiah. About half of all the occurrences in the entire Bible. Why is that? Again, because Jeremiah is the prophet that bridged that time between pre and post Nebuchadnezzar. You'll see by the end of the book that he's prophesying from Babylon because he was carried away with the captivity of Judah. But God used Babylon, even though Nebuchadnezzar was a Gentile king, God used him to come in and chastise his people and then later punish them for chastising his people, which is how it always works. But in all of that, what we see is Jeremiah getting frustrated and upset. So I'm sure that's never happened to anybody here, that when you faced a trial or a persecution, you got frustrated or upset. But Jeremiah was human. And sure enough, he says there in verse 8, so since I spake, I cried out, I cried violence and spoil, because the word of the Lord was made a reproach unto me and a derision daily. And we must be ever on the lookout for having a wrong attitude about doing right. Because a lot of times when we do right, we don't receive the physical blessings that maybe we'll expect, but instead we receive the opposite. And we receive an attack or a persecution or a trial. If you would go to John chapter 15, Jesus warned his disciples that this could happen. John chapter 15, and look at verse 20. Jesus here warning his disciples. He's in the upper room with them. He's about to go to the garden. Notice he says, remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they've kept my saying, they will keep yours also. So he says, if they've persecuted me, the Son of God, they're going to persecute you as well. And they did. All the disciples faced persecution. Some of them, if not all of them, were martyred for their faith. And then if you go to 1 Peter 4, Peter himself, who was one of the original 12 and went through great persecution, tells us how to respond. 1 Peter 4:16, it says, yet if any man suffers a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. Now, this is not talking about general all-purpose suffering. This is talking about suffer as a Christian. In other words, suffer because you're taking a stand. Suffer because you're witnessing. Suffer because you're a Christian. And God says, if that happens, if you choose to do right, if you choose to witness, if you choose to take a stand for Jesus, and you get persecuted for it, our response is not to get ashamed, but it's to glorify God. Or it should be. And so Jeremiah's response is not what God wanted, but he gets his heart right. If you'll see, go back now to our passage, Jeremiah 20. eventually gets his heart right. The first he says in verse 9, "Then I said, I will not make mention of him or speak any more in his name." So this is Jeremiah speaking. He says, here I'm doing the right thing. God called me to be a prophet. I've been prophesying. I've been telling Israel exactly what God wanted them to hear. And now I'm in the stocks. And I've been punched. Nobody will listen. And so I decided, that's it. I'm going to stop prophesying. And that is not the response God wants. If you go to John chapter 12, we'll see that the same thing happened to the many of the Jewish converts, especially the Jewish leaders in the time of Christ. And if we're not careful, we'll let the devil win, which is what originally was going to happen with Jeremiah. I mean, the devil doesn't want God's word spoken. Above all things, he hates that. And so if the devil can use persecution to cause us to say, that's it, I'm just tired of talking about Jesus, I'm tired of taking a stand for Christ, the devil wins. Notice John 12:42. "Nevertheless, among the chief rulers also many believed on him, but because of the Pharisees they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue, for they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God." So here we have these Jewish leaders, these chief rulers of Israel. Some of them actually believed on Jesus Christ as the Messiah, as the Savior, but they kept their mouths shut. And they wouldn't tell others about Christ. Why? Because they didn't want to be kicked out of the synagogue. And how many times do Christians not say anything about being a Christian at work? Why? Because they don't want to be ridiculed. They don't want to be persecuted. Their neighbors, same thing. And Jeremiah basically was doing the same thing hundreds of years, many, many centuries ago, saying, that's it. I'm not going to speak anymore in God's name. I'm done prophesying. But, verse 9, go back to it, Jeremiah 20. "I said I won't speak anymore, won't make mention of him or speak anymore in his name, but his word was in my heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones, and I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay." That should be true for all of us. Yes, the devil may tempt, he may persecute, he may attack, but the response shouldn't be, that's it, I'm tired of witnessing, I'm not going to speak up for Christ anymore. How can we do that when God lives in us? When God has given us a command to share the gospel, when people are going to hell, how can we respond like Jeremiah and say, I'm done? This should be the solution, is I have to speak in the name of Jesus Christ. And sure, if you go to Acts 4, sure enough, the disciples at one point along the way said that very thing. Because they faced a lot of persecution in the early days of the church. Go to Acts chapter 4. And here in chapter 4, they were told very explicitly by the leaders to stop preaching in the name of Jesus Christ. Notice verse 18. "They called them and commanded them not to speak at all nor teach in the name of Jesus." They commanded them. These were the Jewish leaders. They said, that's it. Stop. No more preaching about Jesus. Verse 19, "Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye, for we cannot but speak the things which we've seen and heard." So even though they were being ordered by the leaders to stop preaching Jesus, they said, we have to. We cannot but speak the things which we've seen and heard. And Jeremiah basically came to the same conclusion. Even though I don't want to, even though my flesh doesn't want any more persecution, and I don't want to stand up for the Lord anymore, I have to. And go to Acts 17, we'll see another example. This time the Apostle Paul, of all places, Athens, Greece. Look what it says, Acts 17:16. "While Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was stirred in him when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry." And that's when he got up and preached his sermon on Mars Hill. He couldn't help it. When he saw the people worshiping the false gods, his spirit was stirred. He had to say something. This is how it should be for all of us. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 9, though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. He said, I have to preach the gospel. Not just because he was an apostle, but because he was a Christian. And that should be our attitude. I have to. My flesh doesn't want to. Let's face it, none of us wants to be persecuted. It's not that we seek it, but we have to talk about Jesus because of what he's done for us. And Jeremiah came to the same conclusion. I have to. I could not stay. His word was in me like a burning fire shut up in my bones. I had to speak. Even though I don't want to in the flesh, I don't want to be attacked anymore, I don't want to be persecuted anymore, I have to tell him about Jesus. Or about the Lord, sorry, for Jeremiah's situation. But notice back to our passage. Then Jeremiah encouraged himself in some great truths, which is what we all need to learn to do. We're going to face persecution if we stand for Christ. 2 Timothy 3:12 says, all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. If we choose to do right, we will be persecuted for it. But notice verse 11, the Lord is with me. So he's made this decision to stop preaching, and then he said, I have to preach. And now he's encouraging himself with some great truths. The Lord is with me as a mighty, terrible one. God had already told him he would be with him back at the beginning of his call. I'll be with you. I'll protect you. It'll be you against the whole nation. Don't panic. I'll be with you. And so we need to do the same thing. When the devil tempts us to stop, we need to encourage ourselves in the truths of God's word and say, yeah, I'm going to get persecuted, but God's with me. God's with me. The Bible says, if God be for us, who can be against us? In Romans 8:31. It's a good question. What's the answer? Nobody. If God's on our side, us and God make a majority. Amen? If God be for us, who can be against us? We need to encourage ourselves in these great truths that God is with us no matter what comes. You might say, well, does that mean that I won't be persecuted? No, doesn't mean that at all. Matter of fact, God promised that we would be if we take a stand. But does it mean that God's will be done and that God will watch over us? Absolutely. And so he encouraged himself in that great truth that God is with us no matter what we face. Then in verse 12, but O Lord of hosts, that triest the righteous and seest the reins of the heart, let me see thy vengeance on them, for unto thee have I opened my cause. It's okay, by the way, to give it to God. Sometimes the attacks might come from fellow believers. Shockingly, the devil sometimes will even use Christians against us to try to get us to stop speaking and standing up for Jesus. What should our response be? To retaliate? No. Let no man see they render evil for evil. But it's okay to give your cause to God. And that's what he did here. Lord, I'm giving you my cause. And the Bible says the same. Avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it saith, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. It's okay to say, Lord, you deal with it. You take care of it. Here's my cause. Here's my situation. I'm not going to retaliate. I'm just going to give it into your hands. And that's exactly what Jeremiah did. So he encouraged himself in the great truths of the word. He gave his cause to God. Then look how he finished in verse 13. Sing unto the Lord, praise ye the Lord. One of the best times to praise God and sing unto the Lord is when you're in the middle of a trial or persecution. Stop and realize how good we actually have it. We still have salvation. We still have a home in heaven. We still have Jesus Christ by our side. We still have the Holy Spirit living in us. And no matter how bad it seems to be, none of that changes. Amen? Go to Habakkuk chapter 3. I want to show you an example in the Old Testament of a prophet who faced similar situations and trials. Habakkuk chapter 3. I know it was in here last time I checked. There it is. Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 17. So you think you were having a bad day, look at Habakkuk's bad day. Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vine, the labor of the olive shall fail, the fields shall yield no meat, the flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. Basically, if anything could go wrong, it went wrong. That's what he's saying. Look what he says. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. So Jeremiah came to the realization that I have to speak as God asked me to. And we do too. Will we get attacked and persecuted? It's very likely. But then we need, like Jeremiah, to say, I still have to do it. God's with me. I'm going to trust in His Word and His promises and His presence. I'll give my cause to Him and let Him deal with it, because He is God and He can handle it. He has big shoulders. And I'm going to keep singing and praising God. Psalm 33, turn over there. The passage that I preached on at the 50th. Verse 1, it says, Rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous, for praise is comely for the upright. Can you read through Psalms without wanting to praise God? How many times in the Scriptures, just Psalms alone, does it talk about praising the Lord? Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. So Jeremiah, we see this growth take place in his spiritual walk, don't we? Where he reaches this first physical persecution. I mean, they've already been not listening, but this is the first time he's actually faced an attack. And by the way, there's going to be others. But they actually smote him and then put him in the stocks. And his initial reaction was to say, I'm done. But then God's word was like a burning fire. He said, I have to keep preaching. I have to keep telling people what God said. We need to be the same. And he built himself back up with God's truths. God's with me. God will take care of my cause. God is great. No matter what, I'm just going to keep praising God, keep singing unto the Lord. And when you get to the next chapter, you know what Jeremiah is doing? Prophesying. Chapter after chapter, he just keeps prophesying, and they just keep not listening and attacking, and he just keeps prophesying. And later on, he says, Oh, that my... I forget how he words it, but basically, if I just had an endless supply of tears, I'd cry them all for Israel, hence the weeping prophet. And then he wrote a whole book called Lamentations, because they just wouldn't listen. So I could not stay. We need to have that attitude. I have to. I can't hold it in. I have to tell others. I have to stand up for Jesus. No matter what I face, God's with me. I'm going to rest in Him, trust Him with my cause, and just keep praising Him. Amen? Could not stay. Let's pray.